U.S. District Court, 9:30 a.m. Wednesday, 9/25/13. Garber, Judge Eve et al. Tell him to text me, Cam. Tell me. Now, how do you text?
Contact. 13C, 3643, Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Insurance Trust versus Heritage Union Life Insurance Company. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. Adam Simon on behalf of Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Insurance Trust, dated June 21st, 1995, and Ted Bernstein as trustee and individually. And I need to make that clear for the record because another one of the parties, who is a child of the decedent, Simon Bernstein, who's on the phone, Elliot Bernstein, has asserted a claim against me personally and professionally in this matter. It's a completely meritless claim. It's based on the fact that I have allegedly asserted a claim to the death benefit proceeds in this for this policy. I have not. I'm not related to Simon Bernstein. I'm a brother-in-law of one of his daughters. I'm representing just the trust. And now I've been countersued for $8 million, but I have not been served. So I just wanted to make it clear for the record who I am appearing for.
Okay. Good morning.
Alex Marks on behalf of Jackson National Life Insurance, which was the successor entity to Heritage.
And would you please identify yourself on the phone, Mr. Bernstein?
Yes. Hi, Your Honor. This is Elliot Bernstein, and I'm representing myself pro se as a third-party defendant in Jackson's answer and counterclaim.
You are here for status on this case. When you were last here, you informed me that you were having a hard time locating the trust documents on the plaintiff trust.
Correct.
So what's the status? Where does that stand? Where do your settlement discussions stand?
Well, essentially, we provided an outline. We've spoken to the insurer, Jackson, and Jackson has filed an interpleader, and their position is they want out. They really have no position as to who the proper claimant is. We will establish to the court that the Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Insurance Trust, which I will call the Bernstein Trust, was the named beneficiary by documentation of who the beneficiary was. There's other documentation confirming that. We have unexecuted drafts of the trust and testimony of people who've seen the executed trust. I think we will prevail if an evidentiary hearing is required. What I would suggest, and what I will suggest after possibly giving a further summary of the status of the case, is an immediate mandatory settlement conference with all of the parties present in court as soon as possible in front of the magistrate or Your Honor.
I was going to recommend going to see Magistrate Judge Rowland. For a settlement conference, if all parties are interested. It sounds to me, based on what I'm hearing, that that might make some sense from everybody's perspective. Mr. Marks, what's your position on that?
We would have no objection to it. Mr. Simon is correct. We don't have a position as to who should get the funds. We've already tendered the funds to the court, so we really don't think there's any purpose in us sticking around, other than we're happy to cooperate with any discovery the parties may need in terms of records. I would give the court just one bit of update, because we had, as part of the interpleader, we named several entities just out of an abundance of caution. Anyone who at any point we believed was named on this policy in any regards, we wanted to bring to the table. Four entities we added. Elliot Bernstein, who's now on the phone, has appeared. PNC Bank, which we have not heard from, they were served. Bank of America, I've talked to their someone in their in-house legal department, and it's finally getting to them, or just gotten to them after they were served, and they're looking into it. At one point, their predecessor, LaSalle Bank, was named as a trustee, it was named as a beneficiary, we believe, in a role as a trustee, but it's a little unclear. And then the final entity we added was a bank named First Arlington National Bank. We couldn't figure out who they were. It turns out we think that was the bank entity was named First American National Bank in Arlington Heights. After about four mergers, they've now merged into J.P. Morgan Chase, which is also a client of our firm. So I just yesterday, late in the afternoon, about 4:30, finally got a conflict letter from J.P. Morgan Chase. I didn't have an opportunity to file any motion. I was going to ask for the court's guidance in terms of do we need a motion to substitute in J.P. Morgan Chase as the successor to First, what we named First Arlington, but it's really First American National
Bank. I think you do.
Okay, I'll get that on file and get them a part of it. I don't think they probably have any entity or any interest in this policy. First Arlington National Bank was a named beneficiary, I think, in the late 80s or early 90s, and then their names don't seem to appear much, but again, out of an abundance of caution, we wanted to make sure everyone who might have a potential interest in this was given notice of it. So I'll get some sort of a motion together to substitute in the party defendant, and J.P. Morgan Chase is now looking in to see whether one of their merged-in entities from several decades ago, if they have any records on this.
Also, I'm looking at the docket, and since this was removed from state court, it does not look like the third-party complaint made its way to the docket. You remove the original complaint, and that is on the docket here, but it doesn't look like your third-party complaint is actually on the docket, so you should make sure that gets filed, unless I'm missing something.
Well, I filed it as an answer, and then counterclaim and third-party complaint in interpleader. I didn't file anything in the state court. There should be an entry for the answer to the complaint, and then interpleader, counterclaim, and third-party complaint.
Okay. Just make sure that's on there.
Sure.
Mr. Bernstein, what's your position on proceeding with a settlement conference and trying to resolve this case, sir?
Well, Your Honor, the only problem with jumping there is I've been denied all of the documents that have been presented, the claims, et cetera, and without that, you know, wouldn't be able to honestly make an informed settlement. And so
you would certainly get discovery, and I would encourage everybody.
Well, I've been refused
to share all documents that you would need to proceed with a settlement conference and to make it productive.
Okay, well, based on if I get all of the documents regarding policies, trusts, et cetera, at that time, after I've had time for either to retain counsel to review them or review them myself pro se, then I would, you know, more than likely be willing to sit down and know what I'm settling.
If I put a referral in today, it's likely going to take about 8 weeks to get in. If I do that, can you get the documentation turned over to Mr. Bernstein quickly so that he can make that assessment and...
I can, with the caveat that Mr. Bernstein is seeking documentation in the estate of Simon Bernstein, which is being probated in Florida, and the estate of Shirley Bernstein, which is his mother, also being probated in Florida. And I want to make it very clear that this proceeding is solely about a life insurance policy outside the estate of Simon Bernstein, and that's the records I'll be happy to turn over.
And that's what the complaint addresses here. So anything that's relevant to this case, make sure that Mr. Bernstein gets a copy of from either side. Mr. Marks, I don't know if you have anything. I'll put a referral through to Magistrate Judge Rowland for a settlement conference in the case. You'll get a minute order from her giving direction on when to appear before her and what her procedures are. But in order to make it productive, make sure that Mr. Bernstein gets the documentation that he needs.
And Your Honor, I've put in that Adam Simon is conflicted because he works in a law firm that's being used in this case with his brother David Simon, who's married to my sister Pamela Simon. And I just, you know, I don't know how you waive that, but I'm not going to. But if you do, I don't know. And it just appears that they should get representative counsel. Now that Adam's being sued, I think he needs to get a lawyer, both personally and professionally, separate counsel, and his brother.
That was the purpose of the lawsuit, Your Honor. Obviously, it was to try to conflict me out. That was the sole purpose of the lawsuit.
I didn't file the lawsuits.
Yes,
you did. Okay, wait.
No, actually, this was filed without my knowledge, Your Honor, as a beneficiary.
That lawsuit is not before me. There really isn't a formal motion.
No, I'm talking about this lawsuit, where I put in my counter complaint. Did you get that counter complaint, Your Honor?
It was filed, yes.
Okay, and it addresses that the Simon Law Firm has an interest in this policy, and that is critical because that interest conflicts with beneficiaries of the estate. Now, all I'm saying is they need to get representative counsel. That's like my sister's husband representing this case when money could benefit them versus benefit the estate beneficiaries.
The only person who says that the Simon Law Firm or myself has an interest in the policy is on the phone right now.
I didn't say an interest in the policy. I said, Pam Simon.
Wait,
I said
Mr.
Pam
Bernstein,
Simon does.
Mr. Bernstein, you're going to lose your telephone privilege.
Okay.
And have to be here in person. So you're not here to argue with Mr. Simon. If you want to file a separate motion, are you an attorney, sir?
No, I'm pro se.
Okay. You might want to get an attorney to represent you in this.
I'm working on it.
If you think a motion for some type of recusal should be filed, you can file that. I would suggest you consult with an attorney first so you don't run into any Rule 11 problems or take any action that is sanctionable. We're proceeding with the lawsuit that is before this court. I am referring this to Magistrate Judge Rowland for a settlement conference. You have your other dates in place. If you want to file an agreed motion for substitution going forward, Mr. Marks, you could certainly do that. Consult with everybody first to bring in J.P. Morgan in lieu of the other party. That's fine. And the other parties who haven't answered, if you feel that you need to take any action with respect to them, go right ahead. I'm going to set this over for status in about 2 months. Hopefully, we'll have been before Judge Rowland by then, and we'll see where that goes. Katie, 2 months?
November 21st at 8:30.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Your Honor, may I ask just one last thing?
Yes.
I know the last time we were here, we set some Rule 26F disclosure deadline to issue discovery. From Jackson's perspective, again, since we don't have a horse in this race, I don't anticipate we're going to be issuing any discovery, so it probably doesn't affect us, but just for the benefit of all the parties, are those dates continuing, or because now we've been referred to the magistrate, are those going to be set to the side until we have the settlement?
I have not set them to the side, and it sounds like discovery, some initial discovery is necessary in order to make the conference before Judge Rowland productive. So,
Fair enough.
If you don't think you need to issue it, that's fine.
Understood.
For the purposes of the settlement conference and for the Rule 26F disclosures, obviously, I think it would be productive if they disclose their documents.
Okay, yeah, I'm not moving the date,
okay.
So they are in place.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.